Blog Talk Radio.
PLM, baby.
These various rappers are so hilarious. We'll put the mic down, but you ain't qualified to carry this. Yo, tracks are garbage, your bars are miscellaneous. So throwing your joint at my car was spontaneous. Shit, I got you feeling nervous on purpose. I love bringing that shit right at you, door-to-door service. Instantaneous, you will still get your shit bust on these spontaneous.
All aboard the Spontaneous Express. Nevertheless, always the more. From the pool table to the kitchen floor. Next stop, G5. Luda.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here shouting you out for your birthday and making this a grand occasion.
Happy birthday, baby. Hope you get many more. Many more. May everything you wish for become a reality. And, you know, I just wish you lots of love and thug fashion.
Big business, you want to be successful, you want to be like Trump, gimme, push, step, crush. That's how it all is, and it's like, nobody ever stopped. Just, you know, I feel like, instead of us just being like, slavery's bad, bad whitey, I mean, all right, let's stop that, and everybody's smart enough to know that, I mean, we've been slighted, and we want ours, and I don't mean by like, ours, 40 acres and a mule, because we passed that. But we need help. I mean, for us to be on our own two feet, us meaning youth or us meaning black people, whatever you want to take it from. For us to be on our own two feet, we do need help. Because we have been here. We have been a good friend. If you want to make it a relationship type thing, we have been there. And now we deserve our payback. It's like you got a friend that you don't never look out for. You know, you dressed up in jewels. Now America's got jewels and they paid and everything. And they lending money to everybody except us. And it's like, you know, everybody need a little help on their way to being, you know, self-reliant. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing about the album, about the Special Olympics. Everybody need a little something and they to be independent. No independent person just grew up and was born independent. You worked and you learned teamwork and you learned cooperation and unity and struggle and then you became independent. And we have to teach that and instill that. And why is it that they want to do that? I mean, if this is truly a melting pot in the country where we care about and Lady Liberty got a hand like this, she really loves us, then we really need to be like that. And it needs to be the black kids. If there's a white person who got money, then he needs to help them. He needs to help black kids, Mexican kids, Korean kids, whatever. But it needs to be real. And it needs to be before we all die and then you say, oh, I made a mistake. We should have gave them some money. We really should have helped these folks. It's going to be too late. You know what I'm saying? And then that's when you got to pay your own karma. And that's when God makes you punish. God punishes you. Because I feel like, you know, it's too much money here. I mean, nobody should be hitting Lotto for $36 million and we got people starving in the streets. That is not idealistic. That's just real. That is just stupid. There's no way Michael Jackson should have, or whoever Jackson, should have $1 billion and then there's people starving. There's no way that these people should own planes and their people don't have houses, apartments, shacks, drawers, pants.
You say people are disabled, they earned it. Now you go out and you're earning
If they earned it, then I think that that's good, and I think that they deserve it. But even if you earned it, you still owe. Because look at me, I don't have that mega money, but I feel guilty walking by somebody. I got to give them some mail. And if I know I got $3,000 in my pocket, I feel like it's wrong to give that person a quarter or a dollar. It's wrong. Only you know what you got in your pocket. And that's wrong. No matter what they do, if they take it and drink it, they take it and drink it. But, I mean, you got. You understand? And we all know how hard it is, and it's not about if you good or you bad. So since it's not about if you good or you bad, we know that because he don't got, don't mean he was bad. Or don't mean he's a criminal, or don't mean he's crazy, or a drug addict, or none of that. It just means he don't got. And ain't it bad that you got 30? I mean, can you imagine somebody having $32 million? $32 million, and this person has nothing, and you can sleep. You can still go to the movies about, I mean, and then these are the type of people that get humanitarian awards. Millionaires. How can they be humanitarians by the fact that they're millionaires and there's so many poor people shows how unhumane they are? You know what I'm saying? And that bugs me. Not saying that when I'm never going to be rich and I'm never, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying it's a struggle, and I think everybody deserves it. And I think there's a way to pay these people. I think there is a way. It just takes to be revolutionary. And it takes to do something out of the ordinary. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that if we just said, okay, I got an idea. No more porno buildings. You know what I'm saying? Let's build houses. Or no more polo games. Let's build houses for poor people. You know what I'm saying? Or, look, okay, I know you're rich. I know you got $40 billion, but can you just keep it to one house? You only need one house. And if you only got two kids, can you just keep it to two rooms? I mean, why have 52 rooms and you know there's somebody with no room? It just don't make sense to me. It don't. And then these people celebrate Christmas. They got big trees, huge trees, all the little trimmings. Everybody got gifts, and it's like...
No man separate what we create. Unstoppable, untouchable, motherfucking worldwide bombing. Death Row at its finest, M.O.B. No man separate what we create. No man separate what we create. No man separate what we create. No man separate what we. No man separate what. No man. No man separate. No man. No man. No. No man. No man. No man. No man. No. No man. Separate. Man. Separate. 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 What we. What we. What we create. What we create. What we. What we. What we. What we. What we. What we create. What we create. Untouchable. Motherfucking worldwide bombing. Death Row at its finest. M.O.B. Thug from motherfucking lot. Motherfucking magnet. Coming at these niggas worldwide. Dude. Machiavelli's dog. My life in exchange for yours. Born hated as a thug. House full of baby crime. With my lack of kicking love. Ain't nobody tell me shit. But I got a sack of drugs at the block. So enough. Cause I'm on the back of guns. Do you feel me? World, do you hear me? Catch a rising star. Fuck the love. Niggas see me. Got these niggas running all wild. For my double love.
I began the paper, stacking at those who be paper snatching. Well, I'm merge like crack in the 80s. Maybe, maybe that's if I slip, but I became official since the start of this. Idi Amin, born July 7th, abusive eyes. Practice with others gave me they hate to cherish, but still I made it. A made nigga made by the game, made for war. My aim is simple and plain. Yeah, whether it's Kane or these tracks made for your brain, you'll forever know my name. Idi Amin.
To get paid, a fucking crazy devil. Mashing from here to there, day by day. Year to year, made niggas on your motherfucking shit. I'm a man.
Call me a bad boy, killer, murder, motherfuckers daily. Know the feds trail me, so my alias Machiavelli. Getting lessons from niggas in penitentiaries. Game, when the plot helped me survive several centuries. Lock me in the cage, I display my rage. Surround the court building with the gauge and spray. They wonder if I'll go when I'm finally sentenced. On my knees to God, begging for repentance. I'm so committed that I'm a thug.
I got the drop of the-
chamber for the anger that I built inside. When it's time to ride, suicidal thoughts lurking, barking, no end to revenge. Fuck Kenny, my name is Mussolini.
They call me Edie, from inside the city, young nigga greedy. So I'm running up on these niggas easy. It ain't nothing, cause if they want something, so I'ma commit to dump and stomp down and stop up while my beat is bumping, thugging to my fucking last up. With low polar cash flow, who you look for, so don't ask, so don't ask stuff. Quick to hit your bitch and she dropped me. Severely addicted to living like a fucking felon. My beat with rookie cops, the cookie rocks a nigga selling. Since a shorty, I've been living like the fine. Nickel plated chrome, got this baby Capone looking like a giant. And I ain't lying, it's like it's me against myself. With all these jackass and snakes grabbing at my fucking well.
More community calls.
Right here, I dedicate to my nigga Pac, a true thug soldier, first to put me on the block. I remember everything we used to flow to, and on the rim, I was blessed just to know. You told a nigga, get your grind, don't keep your head up. Even though this wicked world had me fed up, so misunderstood, your heart was still pure. I remember kicking up dust, having a ball on tour. You were hitting coaches, in a band through rocks. Going through the street, right now, the cake, you had twin clocks. We had the video, keep your love to my kids. Homie, it's a script, ain't about all the shit you did. And even though in my heart, I know you should've lived longer. Best believe, longer, nigga, man, the dope gon' ride for me. Why'd you have to leave? You know the homie took your face. But even though you gone, we know you're in a better place.
You'll carry on if the cows are long gone. Better be staying strong in my hold on. Like you knew you would, wish I could bring you back. Trade places as a matter of fact. You'll carry on if the cows are long gone. Better be staying strong in my hold on. Like you knew you would, wish I could bring you back. Trade places as a matter of fact.
From local drug dealers, way up in the Bay, to international crime bosses doing shit out way. Still just a legend to me, but he was also my brother. My road dog and true hard truck from all Chicago. We rose through these ranks from weed straps and tanks. 91, 92, there was only a chosen few. Riding on our foes, taking these niggas close. Chronic smoke for our noses, the prophecy for the foliage. To tell me more, watch this little young nigga do it. Put a stamp on the game, we rolled and mastered it. Real nigga you could ever know, true soldier at heart.
baby.
And with another fantastic mix by the one and only DJ Waheed, we are underway with another wonderful, and I do mean tonight, this is what I'll call an artistic version of Spontaneous Radio Online. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening to you from coast to coast and around the world. We are now underway with another program that definitely in this time, in these last few weeks in which we have celebrated Spontaneous' annual celebrity birthday celebration for 2022, it has been a joy and a privilege to be in for these shows and to be with you, because everyone that has been on these shows, including tonight, are artists. I mean, and when I use that term, I use that term in a broad sense, artists by way of their voice, artists by way of what they do, artists by way of their talents, their God-given talents, which, you know, they use to entertain us and make us think. And we're thankful for all of them that have been on with us over these last few weeks. And I'm always amazed at what I learn and what I am able to hear when I get a chance to talk with everybody. And that's going to be the same way tonight, we promise you. But as always, on this road, I am joined by my PLN brother. And if you can see the guy right now, and if we had video and we were actually, like, you know, showing our faces, he would have a huge grin on his face, because you do know that this is the month of March, and with March brings March Madness. So I know his bracket, his NCAA bracket's looking good. I'm arguing this evening.
Well, you couldn't be more on point with that one. As my PLM brethren said, Mr. LeVar Evans has already told you. I know a lot of you can't see, but I am definitely have adorned myself in Carolina blue, because why? Why am I? Because Carolina beat last year's national champions in the number one seed in Baylor. That's right. They won it. That's right. In OT, final score, 93-86. Yes, of course, Carolina has moved on, but of course, with Miss Spontaneous celebrating her birthday, I'm pretty sure she's happy, because Villanova has moved on into the Sweet 16, beating Ohio State with the final score of 71-61. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people that are, if you're into NCAA basketball, like I know I am, definitely with our beautiful PLN boss, Miss Spontaneous is, I'm pretty sure you've heard of Coach K, of this year being his last year as coach. And Duke just won tonight in the nail biter against Michigan State, beating Tom Izzo's Michigan State students, their players, the final score being 85-76. So this will be Coach K's, Mike Krzyzewski, his 26th Sweet 16 appearance in his coaching career, alongside coaching the USA basketball team for the last 38 years. So this brother, even though as a Tar Heel fan, it almost pains me to say that, because you know how Tar Heel and Dukes go back with the Blue Devils? Because if you're not wearing Carolina blue, you're wearing the wrong blue. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, if you're wearing Royal blue, that's okay. That's all right. But right now it's not about that. We want to celebrate for right now with Coach K, with his long tenure as a coach. So when he retires, being his last year, we do wish him the best. In his years, when he goes on, maybe he'll work for T-Mobile, I don't know, or AT&T, because I'm pretty sure you've seen the commercials. but yeah, so again, you know, outstanding career, so, you know, like I said, definitely wish him the best. Also, keep your thoughts and prayers along for WNBA All-Star and Olympic champion Brittany Griner. I've come to our understanding that her detention has been extended to May 19th. As you probably already know, if you heard in the news, she has been detained in Russia, allegedly carrying cannabis oils in her luggage. So with the new laws that Russia has imposed, she is facing up to 10 years. So WNBA, as well as her lawyers, are working close together to bring her home safely. So hopefully everything goes well. So just wanted to give you a little light, because we understand with all that has been happening in the world, especially with Ukraine, the war that's going on, Russia and their new laws, high gas prices, COVID still going on, you name it, there it is. But here's another bright side, along with the guest that we have that I'm about to introduce to you in a second. Do you know what today is? LeVar, may I ask you this question? What today is?
Well, you know, this is actually, as a person who does or is like a junkie for almanacs, I should know what today is, but unfortunately, you're going to, unfortunately, off the top of my head, I can't think of it. What is today, besides today being Sunday, and unfortunately Monday tomorrow?
Well, in case you don't know, I'll definitely enlighten all our fans, because if you notice, like, some of the spring dresses and the warm weather popping up, today is the first day of spring, everyone. So here we are celebrating Spawn's birthday with our two wonderful guests, the artists, the painters, and oh my God, we are celebrating the first day of spring. So that means, like I said, the spring dresses, we got the short sleeve shirts on, the shorts and everything, all spring sports are starting to start up. So we got baseball even happening. So just to let you know.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. So that's how it is. So we are celebrating spring on this Sunday of March the 20th of this year, 2022. So again, bringing everybody together, welcome all Aquarians, all Pisces, because it is still Pisces season. So we have not forgotten you, because again, this show is definitely for you, especially all the Tupac fans out there, because as you already know, we are here to celebrate the birthday of our beautiful PLM boss, Miss Spontaneous, the female artist who was managed by Tupac Shakur. She is also a three-time Hall of Fame inductee, sold over 352 million of movies, and still selling today. She has also received 9 awards of her accomplishments in the entertainment industry, including a Lifetime Achievement Award. Also, our beautiful boss became the valedictorian of her class of 2020 from Full Sail University, and she will become Dr. Spontaneous of Business Administration and Strategic Marketing in the next few years from now, including a second book that will be released about her life with her manager, Tupac Shakur, authored by Kevin Powell. And as my brother has already mentioned, Spontaneous Radio Online, the one-stop shop for all of our PLM shows and events. So please stay updated for all upcoming shows and interviews. Now, with all that being said, we are now about to introduce to you our first guest of the evening, all the way from Los Angeles, California. He is a painter and the ultimate Tupac impersonator. Tupac's twin, that's his handle on IG, on him, Mr. Calvin Jefferson. What is going on?
What's up, everybody? Yep, it's me.
Well, welcome to the program, and happy first day of spring.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know that. I learned something new today.
Well, I was going to say, I know in some places it's 37 degrees, so I'm not sure if they really are, but in some places it's nice and cool.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it must be spring there, but it ain't spring here.
Yeah,
yeah, it's always spring in Cali.
Always spring in Cali. But
and
one of the things that I mentioned tonight, or tonight being of artists, and you are, you know, as we have stated, an artist. You are known as the ultimate Tupac impersonator, and I have so many questions and I guess let's go back to the start, because I always like going back. Of course, we start from the beginning. Now, the interesting thing about this, and I will tell the folks, but I want you to kind of explain to them, is that you really, when you got into this, you didn't even know who Tupac was, and you kind of have to learn music. So how does one who doesn't know their subject come to know their subject and come to be in the position that you're in now?
Okay. Well, so you want me to give you how I got started doing Tupac?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd love to hear this.
Of
course.
Okay. So I was living in Little Rock, Arkansas. And let me see. First of all, I was in the military. So being overseas on a ship, you know, we don't even, back then, it wasn't no internet or email or nothing back then. So,
right. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. So I had no, as far as music during that time and everything back then, we didn't know what was going on as far as hip-hop music and in 95 and then. So when I got out the military and went back to Little Rock, I used to go out to the clubs and everything. Mm. And then, next thing you know, I mean, they started having like a lip sync at this club called Elevation. And one day somebody said, hey, you should try out for it. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, you saw the paper Tupac. Why don't you do Tupac? I'm like, oh, okay. So first I like I had to look him up because I didn't know no Tupac music. I didn't, you know, I didn't have no idea. You know, I think I heard Brenda Got a Baby. You know, I heard stuff on the radio, but I didn't really.
Right.
You know, so
right.
So I really had to look them up and, you know, start listening to it. I think I bought the tape and started, you know, listening to it and everything and started winning the shows. And every week they started promoting me on radio, you know, started talking about Calvin Jefferson, you know. So it got bigger and bigger and they started having me as the main show, you know. So it went on from then and that's how I got started.
And that would have been, was it around 2000 when you started, or was it a little bit before that?
It was after 90, it was 97, around 97,
okay. 98, after. Wow. So when you start with this, I mean, does it start, you know, like you said, you started and, you know, doing lip syncs, and, I mean, was it one of those things where you just intended to probably do this like a couple of times, and like, okay, a couple of times, then I'm done? Or was it really as the demand for it really came that you said to yourself, I'm going to just continue doing this?
Yeah. First, it was just a lip sync. You know, I kind of get the look, you know, had a white beater, you know, and that's it, you know, have a little bandana, you know, and that was it. But as it went on, I started looking at pictures and studying his, you know, what he wore, and I started drawing, you know, I only had a little tattoo, so I'm an artist, so I used to draw. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I went out there with a white beater on, I drew the tattoos on my arms, on the arm part. But if I went out with no shirt, mm-hmm. I would draw the whole thing, my whole body. I would put everything. I draw all the tattoos with a marker, you know.
Mm.
You know, sitting in the mirror, you know. So if I had a show on a Friday night, and it might have started at 12 o'clock at night, you know, so I'm at the house around 9 o'clock looking at pictures, drawing, got all the tattoos, the copy of drawing my body before I even get there, you know, it takes time, you know, to draw tattoos. You know, I started even making stencils of Tupac tattoos, you know, making it easier where I could just put them on my arm, put them on my chest, you know, as it got, you know, and then I started doing like a skit. I wouldn't just start coming out there to a song. I started having people sitting out, have somebody like they was sitting there reading a paper and a look, see me come. You know, I had it all drawn. I got more involved in it. Instead of just somebody walking out just doing a lip sync, I started doing like, it was almost like a performance, like a show. You know, so, and as it kept going, it kept getting bigger and bigger. I started getting people. I started having women want to come in. Like, if I did a certain song, How Do You Want It? I had women performing, doing their little dance to, you know, had the lights, the sound, everybody. It started getting real detailed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So you had a whole full-blown production going on with that one. That's it.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know,
So how I got to, I left Little Rock, I got an offer to come, back in the day it was Putting on the Hits. You remember it was a show called Putting on the Hits.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
So the producers of Putting on the Hits was going to come up with America Lip Sync Star. That's how I got to California, and they was doing the filming of it. So I had to go to the club and perform at Tupac doing my lip sync. because they was finna start America Lip Sync Star. And before they put a show out, it's got to go through filming. You do lots of shows at clubs. I was in San Diego doing clubs, doing all different places, performing. But it never got picked up by no network. So that was the end of that. You know, so I done been in commercials. I done been doing a lot of different things, and, you know, it hit and miss, and, you know, nothing ever sticks. You know, always be a part of, like, somebody might be doing a music video. I might do a cameo or something. They wouldn't want a Tupac, you know, but either the video don't make it, or, you know, it's always, or you get cut out of us. You get cut out the scene because it wasn't long enough that you get a little tidbit of you showing, you know. So it's just funny how everything is just always hit and miss, you know, always hit and miss. It's, and now, for some, it's funny how now the internet, you know, you got all the TikTok and all this, you know, it's funny how people becoming famous now, they don't realize back in the day how hard it was. Now, if I would have had TikTok and all that back in the day, I think right now, you know, it'll be a whole nother, you know, but, you know, we didn't have TikTok and Instagram and, you know.
Right.
That's true.
Which is why I bore me. And more amazing because it's almost kind of like word of mouth and hard work and everything else propelled you to pretty much, because like you said, nowadays everyone becomes popular within 30 seconds if they start a TikTok or with social media. They could spread so quickly.
Yeah, you go viral instantly, you know what I'm saying? So back in the day, the only way you go on viral is word of mouth or if you got on TV. And still, it takes a couple, you know, even like reality shows. You know, these reality shows, it take almost 3 seasons before they become really famous off of just reality shows.
That's absolutely true, man.
Think about it. Think about the Kardashians. They show, that show been out almost how many years, but them first 5 years or so, they wasn't doing nothing.
Now it's 50th year, I think.
Now they can sell your, you know, they selling everything. You can, so once you got a lot of, once you get on a reality show now, you famous. You know, it's
Wow.
And I used to think that was a joke. I used to think reality shows was, you know, because I did audition when they was, what happened with the reality show in Arkansas, they came by with like ABC, NBC, all of them major, because this is when the writers went on strike back then.
Okay.
That's how reality shows started. Right. That's why reality shows came about, because writers went on strike. Yep. So they were traveling around and they went to Arkansas and they interviewed, they put you on camera. And they ask you all your life. They want everything. You get on there and you talk about your whole life. There's nothing. Once you get on the reality show, there's nothing you can't hide or say, because they want all your life. And that's how it is. So if you don't agree to having you out there, you ain't going to be on the reality show. They ain't going to call you and pick you up. Because a couple of years later, all them shows was being filmed. They was following people around and then they work it. You know, they'll work whatever script. You could be the villain. You could be whoever they want you to be. But you got to agree to it.
I know. Because going back to that point where you was talking about the writers going on strike, because I remember, you are absolutely right about that, because I know the Writers Guild. I know the Writers Guild, for shows and stuff like that, they went on a major strike where you could see, like, a lot of the shows were suffering because of it. So like you said, with the entrance of reality shows, because I was the same way, thinking, oh, this is a big joke. This is more production companies trying to save money, you know, and paying actors because they don't have anything to write for them.
I thought it was all a joke. Yep. You know, everybody wasn't serious about reality shows, but it caught on, and it's still going.
It's a billion-dollar industry, so, yeah. But I do want to ask you because a million fans definitely want to know, and this is one of the reasons why you're here. What does the million fans want to know? Like, how did you come to know our beautiful boss, Miss Spontaneous? Because it was brought to our attention that she was contacted by some Tupac fans,
and her fans on Instagram about you. So there are some fans that saw what you were presenting, and they say, "Hey, wait a minute, is this Tupac reincarnate? You know, is he truly alive? Did he come back? Like, you know, here it is, our brother Calvin Johnson." So I was like, "Hey, you know, hey,
Jefferson.
You know, Miss Bond, we got, you know, so kind of walk us through like how did that union come to be?"
No, I was enrolled in college. She's going to the same college. I'm just trying to get my doctorate in business. I ran across her, it was some student's fight, some showing people description of something, and I saw Tupac. So when I saw something about her being matched by Tupac, I was like, "Oh, this must, hey." And I'm like, "Wait a minute." And when she did contact me, then she said people have been already talking about me. So I guess that's, you know, that destiny thing. People had already been saying something about me. She already knew who I was.
I love that. I love that. Now, one of the things that I really want to know, there's a couple of questions really I want to know, because, you know, as an impersonator, and we hear about, you know, when, you know, people who are actors, when they go into a role and when they're playing someone, that they have to kind of like dig deep, know their subject, and sometimes become them. Did you find yourself in doing this, you know, digging deep and becoming them? You go on stage, is it one of those things where, you know, you go from being, you know, Calvin Jefferson to Tupac, or is it one of those things where you pretty much are like, "I'm just going to go on here and pretty much perform it as Pac, but I'm Calvin"? Or do you just pretty much, you have to like go into a mindset of, "I'm Pac, I'm performing this, I'm going out here, I'm going to do it like Pac would do it"? I mean, what's the mindset? Because
right.
I'm always interested in how people go across, especially when they're doing something like you're doing. So how does that go for you?
Okay, first of all, you got to study the person. You got to study the mannerism, the walk, the hope you meet somebody that know them, that can tell you more about what you call, what you see on, like what I see in videos and the movies, that's only part of it, you know what I'm saying? So now, you know, YouTube got more detailed interviews on them where you can see his mannerism. You can see how he sit. You can see his, you know, his expressions, or, you know, you got to just study, just see every movement and many pictures that you can see, how many clothes, what, you know, if I do a scene with anger, you know, I want to see every look, how he look when he angry, when he mad, when he then die, nigga, you know, when it's righteous, you know, you got to really study all the details. You know, it's just, it's almost like research. You researching a person, you studying every, you know, it's deep. It's like, and then once going on stage, you know, most people, you know, like my, I'd be nervous. You get them butterflies. Back in the day, if I'm in the club, I had to give me a little drink, you know, kind of relax me a little, you know.
That's
how I always used to, for some reason, no matter how many shows I did, it got easier as I went on, but the first time, when I first was doing it, I was nervous, boy, I'd be sweating, but once I get out there, it's good. I don't know what it is, once you get out there, it's almost like when I used to play football, used to be nervous once you make that first hit, you know, it's on.
Yeah,
right.
I know. You know, I play football too, you know, so it's funny how I can relate that football. It's the same feeling. I don't know what it is, boy. You get them butterflies. I don't know what it is, boy, but you get on that stage, and once you out there, it's like a different, you get into whatever that mode. You just like, you know, it's, and plus the music, really the music, his music puts you in a trance anyway. You know, if you're a real Tupac fan, really done studied, then, you know, that music is, and the more you listen to it, it's coming to light now. It's like, it's almost like you, when you would listen to, what's his name back in the day, forgot the, all the I forgot his name, but his music is like still is still alive today. It's like timeless. And the life where everybody, most of the people live that life, you know. And you live in the ghetto, you live as a black person or whatever. Even not black, everybody. I mean, it's not even about color. When you know, he told about that struggle and how, you know, that life, and you seen how he came up. You see how they was on his family, how he was, they was on his mother. You know, you seen the pain, what mm-hmm. he had to go mm-hmm. through. You know, so, yeah. You know, even, and you notice when you watch America Got Talent, everybody got a story. Everybody got, I hate to say it, but everybody's got the heartache. They don't want usually that's going, they, people pay more attention to people that's got pain than somebody that just grew mm-hmm. up with a silver spoon and got no, and you just, you know, it's a difference in somebody that, because people that's hungry, you're going to get more of that artistic, you know, than somebody that's not hungry.
Right, right.
And once they
right.
once they fed, I hate that artist almost dead. Once they get well fed, I don't know, that's when that artist, not artist no more, I don't know, I hate to say it, but most of the time you don't get the best work out of them no more.
You know? Right. you lose that originality that got them there. So
yeah.
Do you have?
Yeah, but
go ahead.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. That'll be the next question. Yeah, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you have a favorite Tupac song that you go to when you're on stage?
It just depends. It depends on like if it's the heart. Well, let me see. I don't do usually the heart. It depends on the crowd. If it's a, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I don't, if it's okay. if it's a crowd in the club, it's going to be a hardcore. I don't know. I can do anything. It don't make no difference. But I usually like, I ain't mad at you, you know, cause I ain't mad at you. I'm going to have a white tuxedo on. You know, usually when I do that, I have a white tuxedo on.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know, I dress usually I try to match the video with the wedding, you know, with the scene, that song I'm singing, you know, so.
Right,
it's just,
right.
I like all of it, it don't make no difference, but I done had to go back to the beginning, you know, I don't really know the first, you know, all his, the first something, you know, I'm not really, but, you know, even the stuff after he had passed, you know, like, what's the name? My Hood, you know, My Block, you know, that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
For whoever remixed them, and you know what I'm saying, it's, you know, I studied most of those songs, you know, everything, you know, all, for some reason, they did good on the remixes of all them, the songs after he passed. All the old music.
Yeah.
He probably still got more music they could work on. But.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, because there are stories about, like, with Tupac, like, how he, you know, he would be in the studio, like, morning, noon, and night to a point where he was just recording songs. And that was just how he was. So when he was in the studio, you know, he would record these songs, you know, and he had to make sure they were right. So it wasn't something where he would just go in and play around. It's like, no, he said, no, these songs got to be right. And he would go in there, and he would knock these songs out to a point where you could probably feel a trailer, if not a warehouse, with the songs that he has. So, because these are reports that I've been hearing, and I've kind of researched myself. So, yeah. So, and this is one thing he actually told Notorious B.I.G. at one point, is when it comes to your songs, it's like you want to make different types. It's like not only are you making those club hits, but y'all also want to make those songs that are real. You know,
yep.
So that's one of the reasons why Tupac has always been that well-rounded artist, to a point to where he got to the point where he was just reaching everybody. And just like to your point when you mentioned, it's like not about color. So he hit everybody. So you probably have some. As a matter of fact, well, you already know there's courses just surrounding, you know, the topic of him. You even got older folks. They get down on some California love. You know, trust me, when I've actually played that song at a few weddings and some gigs, you'll see some 70 and 80-year-old get out there, and I hate to say it, I think I probably was the cause of a woman actually messing up her knee, but that's okay. She wrapped her knee up. She was good. But anyway, I do want to ask you, though,
Have you played shows in Vegas, or are you planning to do any shows in Vegas? Because I'm pretty sure that's
what I want. Hey, yeah, you hit it on the head. That's what I'm trying to get to, you know. And hey, I'm following up on Snoop too. Snoop done bought Death Row, so hey, I don't know what might happen. You know what I'm saying? It's like that. That opens up the door for all kind of stuff to happen. You know. So hey, Snoop, if you hear me, hey.
Now, yeah, he's probably sitting back drinking on his Corona right now.
Are there good sides or bad sides to being an impersonator for you?
Yeah, well, the bad side is when people just see you out, you know, just, you know, I'm not no identical Tupac lookalike. No, so they expect, you know, it's almost like if you see somebody on TV, you know, they look just like that person. If you see them in performing, because they, you know, they actually performing, you getting in sync. But if you see that person out in town, you won't even know who they were. You could see Janet Jackson, you might not even know who she is out on the street. You know what I'm saying?
But
when you see her on stage, you know who she is. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same as performing. I mean, you know, everybody think you're supposed to be, like, walking out there with a bandana and thug like when you, you know, you know, but, you know, and the bad part is performing is you can't perform anywhere because, like, if you try to perform, like, if you want to do a house party, somebody wants you there. I mean, it might not be safe because you don't know, you know, with the gang stuff, you don't know what might happen. So you always got to perform in a place that's got, you know, that's secure and got, you know, the proper security. So,
wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, because stuff can get out of hand. You know, you can't just do no house party. Somebody wants you to do a little show and you pop up with a bandana on. You never know what environment, what neighborhood. You know, so you got to be careful.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because you're definitely out in an area where they, when it comes to colors.
Yeah,
they take their colors a little seriously. I do understand that. But I do want to ask you this. Now, of course, with you being a Tupac impersonator, right?
Yeah.
There's still other dimensions to your talent. So just like we've mentioned you being an artist as well, being a painter, that's one of the things I would definitely like to ask you about is what inspired you to become a painter? Because one portrait that actually that I remember that actually caught my attention was you painted a portrait of Bill Clinton. Was this during his inauguration?
Because
it was featured in the paper.
I was going to University of Arkansas, majoring in fine art. Okay, first of all, art is my gift. I could draw before I could read or write. So that was I could pick up a pen. I was copying cartoons off of TV as a little kid, you know. People always, you know, they always say, oh, you got to give, you're going to be famous, you know, you can draw the key, you know. I guess a prodigy child or something, somebody just can paint, just grab a brush and never got taught how to mix colors. That's what I could just, it just, that came natural. So So when I got out of the military, I went to the University of Arkansas, majored in fine art. And while that I was in the dorm, I'm like, you know, I always wanted to try to find some kind of way to get my talent out there. So I'm like, okay, Clinton, he president, he about to get inaugurated. So I stayed in the dorm because I was running track too. So I stayed in the dorm over the Christmas, painted a picture. I painted that picture overnight. While everybody was on Christmas break, I was the only one in that dorm, and I painted that picture, like, overnight. It took about a week to dry. I emailed the curator, Rhett, he done passed away now. The curator of the White House was Rhett's, and got an email back. Back then, you know, emails were just starting, so you didn't get a quick reply back then, so... He emailed me back.
Oh, it took a minute.
it took a minute. So when he emailed me back, he gave me the address to send to the White House gift department. I put it in a huge box, mailed it to the White House, and didn't hear nothing else. A year later, I get a letter back from the White House. They tell me, first of all, they couldn't find me because I forgot to put the return address on the actual picture when I put it in the box. So when it got to the White House, they tore the box up. You know, I don't know what security procedures go through when you mail something to the White House. The box got tore up, so the picture had no identification except for my signature on it. They had to research and find me for a year to find out who sent it as a gift. So I finally got an official letter from the White House, thank you from Clinton, and official thing saying it was going to be in the National Archives. That's where it sat until 2000 and something. They opened up the Clinton Center in Little Rock, and I got another letter saying the picture has arrived in the Clinton Center. And it's there in a permanent collection until they put it on display or something, or they'll contact me if it ever get put on display. And so, you know, I was in the paper. They purchased, University of Arkansas, purchased more of my, I did a picture of Snoop in pastel. I called it endangered species because when Tupac got shot, I said Snoop is going to be an endangered species. So I did a portrait of Snoop and named it the endangered species. And it's in the University of Arkansas Little Rock purchased that from a permanent art collection. So it might be sitting in somebody's office. So it might be sitting in somebody's office because it rotates around the university.
And it's interesting you mention that because Tupac, you know, like you said, was only with us for 25 years, and you have now done this for about the time that he was living. Are you always amazed generation of fans that, you know, the ages that come out that are starting to learn Pac or were around when the music was going on or, you know, new fans to it? Because you are pretty much the ambassador of what he has done. Are you always amazed at the young people who come out? Our fans?
Yes. They come from, I done guys from all over the world. Everybody always, and I even met the other Tupac, the ones that have been really known, the ones that used to go to the Las Vegas, Live Hardaway, Hardaway. I met with him, me and him talked, and I didn't meet the other one. I was trying to meet the one that actually was in the movie that did All Eyes, you know, but I think he contacted me, but we haven't never just chatted. You know, but I actually talked to the Hardaway. He was a Tupac lookalike impersonator or whatever. But I don't think he performed. He just used to go to the shows and do the lookalike at the Vegas shows for impersonators. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he actually performed as a Tupac impersonator because he's more documented. Because he went to all the shows, he done been he's the only one I done seen on TMZ.
right.
I think he's into film, so he had inside ways of getting himself, you know, documented. And
Well, that is wonderful, and what you're doing is definitely fantastic. I mean, from an artist standpoint, you learned everything new about your guest, and that's amazing that you know you have something that gets displayed like that, just off of, like we said, you got different talent, you use it, and there you go. So that's amazing, and we're so thankful that you were able to join us here tonight. Just want to let the folks know, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, you are at Tupac Twin.
Pac the Painter, PACDAPAINTER, Pac the Painter. Yeah.
I love it. So, much continued success to you, and I'm so glad that we had a chance to talk to you tonight and to learn about your craft and what goes on behind it. And like I said, continue doing what you do because, you know, the message needs to go out there, and, you know, whatever way it goes out, especially, you know, whatever positive messages that people can get out there. Yeah, definitely. Yep.
The one thing, he sparked the brain. Hey, he sparked one mind. Hey, he said, one thing that will never die is words. You know.
Yep. That's true.
And our wonderful Boss Spontaneous set that she definitely will be having you back here again sometime soon. So we'll thank you for being with us tonight.
And thank you, Spontaneous. Tell happy birthday. I didn't know it was her birthday. I mean, is her birthday today or what?
Actually, her birthday was February, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, February the 5th. So you know how Spontaneous does it. She does it big. So she carries
the whole month.
When it comes to Aquarians, we like, nope, we going to do the month, and we going to add some change to it. So that's what we do. So it's all Aquarian up in here because I'm an Aquarius myself as well as my PLM brother, LeVar. So all the Aquarians are running everything right now.
Yes, thank you so much, and we'll definitely be following you, and we can't wait to talk to you again.
Okay, thank you. Thank y'all. Thanks for paying you. Thank y'all for doing this interview. Thank you.
No problem. Have a good
evening. All right, no problem. Anytime.
Okay.
All right. Bye. So, yes, so wonderful to, you know, like I said, when we get a chance to talk with artists, it's a wonderful thing, and we've got another person coming up who is a fantastic artist that I can't wait to talk to. But first, to my PLM brother, DJ FX, we have a little something to do before we get to our next guest.
Oh, of course. We're going to give you just a short interlude, but because we are all about Tupac, we about to celebrate this type of party, the gangster party. And right after that, we'll be going into our next guest. So let's get it.
A party there.
Ain't nothing but a gangsta party.
Oh shit. You done fucked up, man. You done put two of America's most wanted in the same motherfucking place at the same motherfucking time. Y'all niggas about to feel this. Break out the champagne glasses and motherfucking condoms. Have one on us, alright? Picture perfect, I paint a perfect picture. Bonga hoochies with precision, my intentions to get richer with that and double OP. Dog my fucking homie, you the cold ass nigga on the mall.
Showing up, I keep my hand on my gun, cause they got me on the run. Now I'm back in the courtroom, waiting on the outcome. Free Tupac is all that's on the niggas' mind, but at the same time, it seems they tryna take mine. So I'ma get smart and get defensive and shit, and put together a million march for some gangsta shit.
So now they got a place, two multi-millionaire motherfuckers catch a case. Bitches get ready for the throwdown, the shit's about to go down. Me and Snoop about to clash. I'm losing my religion, I'm vicious on these school pigeons. You might be deep in this game, but you got the rules missing. Niggas be acting like you're savage, they all forget the cabbage. I got nothing but love for my niggas living last.
I got a pit named P, she niggerina. I got a house out in the hills, right next to Chino. And I think I got a black Beamer, but my dream is to own a fly casino like Bugsy Siegel and do it all illegal and get scooped up by the little homie in the Regal. It feel good to your baby bubba. You see, this is for the G's and the keys, motherfucker.
Now follow as we ride, motherfucker. The rest two of the best from the west side, and I can make you famous. Niggas been dying for years, so how can they blame us? I live in fear of a felony. I never stop bailing me, motherfucking G's. If you got a better flow, another woman, two of them members, most wanted.
Ain't nothing but a gangster.
And we are back. You know, I feel when we do those things and when we have some music like that, I feel like a radio DJ. And I almost want to say, it's DJ FX on the one and two. And then I want to, like, open up the contest line or something like that. We're going to party here. We're so glad that all of you are watching for the spontaneous annual celebrity birthday celebration 2022. LeVar Evans alongside DJ FX. No, we're not opening up the contest line. It makes you just feel like you want to be a radio DJ. It's exciting. I'm loving all of this. But we are here tonight, and we are definitely showcasing some gentlemen who are artists in their own right. And DJ FX is here to introduce our next guest on the program tonight.
Yes, because this is one of our special brethren right here. Because he's from right here in the DMV area. That's right, coming out of Arlington, VA. This brother right here, again, recording artist, painter, designer. I mean, he does it all. But most importantly, this is another reason why I love this brother. Not because he's from the DMV area. Pretty much grew up in the same area. But he's also a Commanders fan. That's right, a Washington Commanders fan. You know, to everybody that's been hating on us for getting Wentz, it's going to be messed up if we actually go all the way to the Super Bowl. Then be like, oh, yeah, that was the best trade.
Yeah.
You know, you feel me, right? You feel me. You know what I'm saying? So my brother on the line that is laughing and joking with us right now, let me introduce to you Mr. Bone Cortez. What's going on, my brother?
What's good?
I am. What's been happening?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight, man? How my brother's doing, man?
We're doing good. I now feel good. Alone because I feel like it's two Commanders against a Bears fan, but I'm going to keep going.
Just look at it this way. You're not in the same division, so we're good.
Because
right. we almost got your biscuit. We almost got him, but, you know, that's another deal. But
yeah.
That's okay.
You can have him.
Yeah, that's a whole other can of apples.
You're right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nah, it's going to be interesting this season, but we'll see, man. LeVar, I got faith in your guys as well, too, man. I'm not a hater, so.
No.
Right.
I wish everybody luck, even though it's going to take some time to get used to saying Commanders.
Trust me, that's all of us, because I know, like, after a while, it's like, Commanders, but at the same time, I understand there's some trademarking going on for certain names that we couldn't get. We understand. So for everybody, again, that's hating on the name, we had no other choice.
I just command them to win. That's all, you know.
There you go. Right there.
I command them to win.
We'll
see. It'll be interesting. And Wentz, I'm not ruling the guy out, man. Like, everybody, you know, has a say-so in one shape or form. But I think, hey, we mess around and get into the playoffs, it's going to be a problem.
There you go. There it is. That's what I'm waiting on.
Straight up.
We shall definitely see. But, you know, we talked about art, and one of the things is that, you know, from an artist's perspective, you, sir, are not only involved in art as we know art, but your art also stretches out into other fields, such as writing and music. And there's a lot to talk about, so there's a lot to get across here tonight. Let's kind of start back more on the art side because, you know, as I talked with our earlier guest, is that I'm always interested in knowing, especially, you know, what led you to your love of art, and were there any influences? Because I know from what, you know, you said in the past, that you started this at an early age yourself.
Yes.
Just picking up a pencil and just going and just doing it. So, you know, what led you to that, and what were your influences?
As far as like coming up, definitely the Lord, you know, blessed me with a certain gift, which was, you know, in younger years, you know, as a child or whatever, you just drawing pictures or whatever, playing around, it doesn't look like a gift to you. So I pretty much, you know, coming up, you know, you like cartoons, Ninja Turtles, you know, whatever, Smurfs, you know, Flintstones, whatever. So just starting out, you know, trying to mimic different things that I was into, you know, coming up in the 80s or whatever, and then getting into school, and, you know, people just, I would say, noticing, you know, my talents or skills, you know, and just saying, oh, that's nice, you should draw this or you should draw that. So just continuing to go on that path, and the more that people would reach out to me just to draw a random picture to put on that wall on a piece of paper, you know, it became second nature. So second mm-hmm. nature, you know, drove into other things where I was like, okay, like, no, as far as, like, I would say more so into my teenage years, like, into high school, getting out of high school, where it became to a point where it was like, okay, like, people are noticing this, and I could actually do something with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that in hand, you know, I just took a knack for it, and anything from people asking me, you know, can you draw a picture of a tattoo for me, or I got this T-shirt idea, or would say, I would do it, you know. And this was prior to, you know, me making any type of money or living off of this. It was just something that I like to do. So I, you know, I was drawing on jackets, on walls, on, you know, whatever it was that they paint or a pencil would go on. That's what I was doing.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm actually jealous because I was like, I could not draw a lot. My mine goes to if I can maybe if I'm lucky. I can't do that.
I get that a lot, man. I got faith in your skills, Lamar. I give you a couple pointers, man.
Did you know those commercials back in the 80s where they had the art school and you had to draw the bear? I probably couldn't even do that either. So.
I do remember those. That's funny. It's funny you brought that up. Yeah, man. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. Nah, so, you know, just getting into it and I think probably coming up, I also was into the comics a little hard as far as, like, Marvel Comics. So, like, I was big into, you know, the X-Men, Spider-Man, Wolverine, Punisher things, those guys. And then, of course, Batman. Like, I think – I don't know anybody who's not a Batman fan. So those guys kind of, like, drove into my style as far as I kind of – kind of like a crossover as far as a comic book slash urban style as far as my artwork was concerned, where I would implement cross-hashing as far as, like, that's like a shading technique in comics, as well as, like, realism with just taking different people, like different icons or people that I might have admired at whatever time or another that I would focus on. And, you know, as I got older into, I would say, 15, 16, 17, Mr. Tupac definitely played a big influence in my life and a lot of things that were going on in the mid-90s, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely want to ask about, there's a Tupac poster that you have created, because I bought some. Miss Spontaneous was saying that she has that poster on her wall, and it's definitely featured in one of her Instagram posts. So, so I definitely want to know, what inspired you to say, you know what, I'm going to create this bigger than life portrait, right, of our iconic hip hop icon Tupac Shakur. So, what said, like, this is what I'm going to do.
Oh, man, So that piece in particular, the one that I sent actually to Spawn. I sent her a DMX piece too, rest in peace. But yeah, that particular piece, it was it speaks volume. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it. I'll definitely send it to you if you haven't. But I did that piece that I sent to Spawn. Probably it's 2022 now, so probably I want to say maybe like 2019 was when I actually created the piece. And
okay.
It has Park pretty much, it's pretty much him, you know, and you can see his eyes a little bit from the chest up, you know. And his eyes are pretty much looking back at you, and he has his iconic bandana on, with thorns around his bandana. And then in the background of the picture, it has a quote from one of his songs from the Are You Still Down album that came out, I believe that was, I want to say 1999 or 2000, but it says, "My only fear of death is coming back reincarnated." And that quote right there just speaks so much volume and what he was going through. You know, if his only fear of death is coming back reincarnated, that's crazy. it's a lot going on right there with that quote in itself. So I really don't know what place I was in. I wasn't in a particular bad place, but it was just something that I, like, pretty much I'll throw on some music or something and just start drawing. Or sometimes I'll have a concept that I want to come up with and I'll, you know, go with or whatever. But that particular piece, it was just something that spoke real volume and the pain, you know, and the things, trials and tribulations that man had to go through at a young age. Only, you know, passed away, left us at 25 years old, and I didn't have a clue at 25, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I had a couple things going on, but to know this man's catalog of work from a young age to 25, you know, it outweighs so many things that people try to accomplish in a lifetime who's lived 90 years old, you know. So that guy, you know what I'm saying, with that alone being, you know, said alone, he definitely played a big part in my childhood and coming up. FX, are you from D.C.?
Yes, sir? Yeah.
FX.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Are you
yeah,
from D.C.?
Yeah, born and raised.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Born and raised.
I ain't hear you, bro. Yeah. Okay. No. I was just checking where I was going with it. So, like, just in this area alone, there's a lot of vices. It's a lot of temptation. There's a lot of things going on in the DMV area. When I say DMV, for those that don't know, District, Maryland, and Virginia, so we're pretty much like one big state. Even though we're spread out, you know. But
we don't get no representation in taxes either, but that's all right.
Exactly, brother. Nah, not at all. Not at all, man. But coming up, you know, in this area, you know, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, especially like late 80s, into the 90s, you know, I'm pretty sure all of us are aware of the crack pandemic. And what it did to areas in Chicago, you know, and D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and other states, you know what I'm saying? So it was a wild time, and me being a teenager in the 90s, you know what I'm saying, like I kind of gravitated to pop to be like a big brother, you know what I'm saying? Not necessarily a second father figure. Like, I did have a father, but he wasn't there, you know, like 24/7 in and out, you know what I'm saying? Dealt with drugs and other things, you know what I'm saying? So those things play into the part of a young black male, you know what I'm saying, as far as having that stability. It's needed. So, with that being said, you know what I'm saying, you go out and you dive into certain things and you test certain waters, you know what I'm saying, and honestly, you know what I'm saying, his words and things that he had already been through or whatever just pretty much wanted me to work harder. because his work ethic was so crazy. Clark's work ethic was amazing. You know what I'm saying? This guy was he was preaching, and he was doing music, he was doing movies, he was reaching out to sisters in the community, you know, who were going through things, you know what I'm saying, because he felt he had great love for our sisters, and I don't mean just black sisters, I mean all sisters, you know what I'm saying, every race as a whole,
right.
You know, so to be blessed, honestly, to have a superpower, a figure that bold and that courageous, you know what I'm saying, that time in the 90s, like 93 into 96, RIP after his passing, you know what I'm saying, going on, like the man was still doing music and doing virtual shows.
Yeah.
10 years, 20 years later.
Machiavelli. That story is, you know. Yeah, because that's, to tell you the truth, that's kind of like what started, like, with the whole thing, like, you know, especially when he got killed. Because I know, you know, with me growing up in the, you know, DMV area, D.C., you know, especially shout out to Taft Junior High School, shout out to Dunbar High School. So,
yes,
like, that's all we heard, or that's all I heard, I know, throughout the halls of school pretty much every day was Tupac. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the jukebox that used to come on BET late at night. I'm pretty sure you are, because I'm saying I know you from DMV. If you know about jukebox back in the day, right? So so they used to always play like California Love and you know Dear Mama and Changes and all that. So, you know, so I used to think at one point during that time, like, you know, I used to think Tupac was from D.C. That's what I used to think because they played him so much, on D.C. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
it was amazing.
He was born in New York, but he then moved to Baltimore.
Yeah,
he had a little bit of flavor with him for a minute, you know what I'm saying, as far as the culture. And crazy thing, like he would come back and he would perform with like the go-go bands. He would perform with Northeast Groovers, Junkyard Band, Backyard Band, as well as Scarface. You know what I'm saying? Face, he's deep with the DC culture, big. You know what I'm saying? With the go-go culture, he performed. Yeah. Matter of fact, I met Scarface, and I'm going off on a tangent right now, but I met Scarface.
Now you good?
A backyard show. I met him at a backyard band show in Arlington. They played at the State Theater in Arlington, Virginia. And and I was passing. We ran passing, and me and my boy, we was walking out. We was like, "Yo, that's Space right there." And we stopped him, and you know, we asked him, you know, could we get a picture with him and everything. And it was all love. It's so crazy because you see these icons, these great people on TV or on stage, and they're larger than life. But when you get to meet them, and you see that they're so humble and they're just like me and you, it's like, yeah, like I can do that. I can do what you do. You know what I'm saying? But it takes consistency. You know what I'm saying? You got to stay consistent on whatever it is that you want to do in life. You know what I'm saying? That's the key. That's pretty much like the holy grail is staying consistent.
Yeah, and I was going to say, staying consistent also got you, I mean, talk about coming full circle, because of your love of art, you had an opportunity to do artwork and T-shirt apparel for a few people in the music industry, as well as from the likes of Tupac's group, The Outlaws. So, you know,
and other
artists as well. So, I mean, it's like full circle for you. How did that happen for you?
Okay, I'm gonna go back a little bit. We're gonna get into the Outlaws because I got actually a funny story with them guys. we're gonna get into it. The T-shirt thing, like me and a buddy of mine around the way in Arlington or whatever, we started prior to that, I take that back. I was actually selling my artwork to different T-shirt companies within the DMV location. So, in fact, I'm sure you are familiar with BBTP, Rugged Wear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard of One Flavor before.
One Flavor,
it was a couple
sounds
of,
familiar.
Yeah, these are local T-shirt companies, you know what I'm saying, in the D.C. area like back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So you remember when, like, everybody was wearing, like, the T-shirts that had, like, the drawings on them or, like, the quotes on them or whatever?
Yeah, he used to sell them jokers right out there on Minnesota Avenue and H Street.
Yeah,
with those
there you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, trust me. I used to buy some of them shirts, so I'm just saying.
I was like 15, 16. Nah, I was probably like 16, 17 when I first started doing this. So I would come up with like different drawings of artwork or whatever, and I would push them out. I would go to like the DDTP store, or the Regaway store, or whatever, or the One Flavor store, and show them my work on a piece of paper. So I have like a portfolio. I have like a binder of work, and I, you know, so I ain't had no license or nothing at the time. So my boys, they would drive me out to their stores or whatever out of D.C., and I was showing my work, and you know, some people would be like, yeah, this is good. I give you $50 for this, or $25 or $30 or whatever. Da, 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 da. So at the time, you know, 15, 16, 17, you're making $100, $150 in a day. That's, that looks damn good. So you know what I'm saying. So then I went from there to starting to work for a company called One Flavor, which was a t-shirt company, based out of Southeast DC. So I would go out there to a liquor store off of Suitland Parkway in DC, called 51 Liquor Store, right up the street from. It was a spot right up the street from this place. I can't remember the name of the club, but so off of Suitland Parkway, you know what I'm saying, I would drive out there, or my folks would take me out there every Friday, you know what I'm saying, man, and I would have to wait until this guy was done selling his go-go CDs and his T-shirts or whatever, 2 o'clock in the morning, 16, 17 years old, waiting to get paid. And I would do that every Friday, you know, every Friday night, just sit out there, out in the spot. So it was a lot going on, you know. I didn't see people get shot, robbed, all kinds of shit, just crazy stuff out there, just to make a buck, just to sell my artwork, you know what I'm saying, to get these things seen on TV. So that happened, and I did get a TV plug where Channel 5 News actually showed one of my T-shirts on TV live, you know what I'm saying? And I was just sitting at one of my boys' houses, you know what I'm saying? And they said, hey, boom. They said, that's a T-shirt right there. So when I saw it, you know, I was excited. But at the same time, they had posted one that was, like, more so related to gang violence. And that wasn't something that I was necessarily into perpetuating. It was just a particular shirt that I drew, and it wasn't necessarily even pertaining to gang violence. It was it said "Who's Your Crew" on the shirt, and it had like pictures of guys with his boys behind them, but it wasn't necessarily me saying,
right,
I want to kill you or shoot you or rob you or whatever. It was just something representing, you know, everybody got crews everywhere you go, even if you're in a bougie town, everybody got people they're cool with, you
right
know?
That yeah
so
yeah
I, I didn't take that too lightly, you know what I'm saying? So I was, even though my artwork was on television, it didn't sit well with me, you know.
Right. I was thinking
right.
Message gets distorted.
Yeah,
that's the thing, definitely. You know, especially around those times, because I know news, especially like you said back in the day, like it's say the wrong thing, especially coming out of Southeast.
Yeah,
it's like, oh my God.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Yeah, but I did want to ask you though. Yep.
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, man. I just wanted to get back to LeVar's question, you know what I'm saying, as far as the Outlaws and everything was concerned. But what did you have?
Yeah. Yo, no, I just wanted to ask you, like, because the Minya fans wanted to know, like, the connection between you and Spontaneous. Like, you know, everybody wants to know, how did you all connect? Like, how was she able to bring you here so that way we're able to chat?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, crazy thing, like, IG, Instagram is a motherfucker. So,
right.
Yeah, Instagram is crazy, man. Like, Instagram will you know, make so many relationships come to par that it's a gift and a curse at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, Spawn. So, yeah, I honestly, it had to be about 2 years ago. I don't know if she saw something on my page or I saw something on her page pertaining to Pac, but that's definitely how that started. And then we started just having like conversations, you know. And I would pick her brain about certain things. She would pick my brain about certain things, and it was all related to Pac. And then, you know, she started, you know, telling me that she had, you know, like the podcast, you know, interview thing going on, radio show going on. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, you know, send me some shows, you know, I'll definitely be open to listen to them. I check a couple out, and I was definitely interested in what she had going on and what she was talking about and the people that she brought on. So it was intriguing to me. After that, you know, we had some more conversations, more in depth, and as far as like where we were from and what we do, you know what I'm saying, as a whole. So, yeah, it definitely blew me away. I was like, wow, this lady has a freaking portfolio that's longer than the time that I've lived.
Right.
So, you know, so people from the outside in, they would say, okay, I know Spontaneous as a adult star, whatever the case may be. And she kind of like elaborated on that as well, and how she got into it, the adult game, and then on top of that, you know, just getting her degrees and moving forward and being so much of a positive person and a voice, you know what I'm saying? Like, at this point, like, I call her big sis. You know, like, the girl's got so much game and so much knowledge and so much positivity with her, and she obviously brings, like, a lot of people together, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You definitely can't
yes.
judge a book by its cover. You know, you can't judge a book by its cover. So she's, you know, been open enough, and I'm obliged, you know, to be a guest on her show, and I wish her nothing but the best, you know what I'm saying? It was crazy because we had a conversation probably about 2 weeks ago, and we were talking, and we probably talked for like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and I was like, God damn, I was like, Spawn, we need to have this on the show. Like, we just did an interview right here. You know,
right.
You can get lost in her words because, you know, once she gets going and once you know, you acclimate, you adapt to a person, and you get those good vibes. That's the thing. Like, you either get a good vibe or you get a bad vibe with a person.
Right.
And,
right.
And
yeah,
he got
being,
good vibes
yeah,
at the top.
Right, yeah, because I know she was saying that with her being matched by Tupac, you know, she's very picky about her association, so you're in great
mm-hmm.
company, bro.
My man and my girl.
Right?
Nah, but yeah, she's an awesome person. And then, you know what I'm saying, that was the icing on the cake as far as her being affiliated with Pop, you know what I'm saying, because I didn't push or search to be affiliated with that man in no shape or form or whatever. I mean, he's definitely been a voice for me and the way that I operate, you know what I'm saying? Things that he's done pretty much pertains to the way that I operate and me, you know, having my hands in, like, so many different things, you know what I'm saying? Like, Pac was a Gemini, I'm a Gemini. Crazy shit, though, is I have the same birthday as Biggie, May 21st, and I have a son who has the same birthday as Tupac, June 16th.
Wow.
So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, like real talk. Yeah, real talk.
Connecting
so,
road.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So,
I'm thinking.
So getting back, though, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, yeah, go ahead.
Nah, so yeah, getting back, man, like, at the end of the day, Spawn, she's awesome. I'm ready to call her Dr. Spawn, MD. But she's awesome. And getting back to the laws and everything, it was crazy because this was I want to say probably like 2005. So 2005, the Outlaws actually came to the Zanzibar in D.C.
Wow.
You,
that's Zanzibar.
Yeah. They came to the Zanzibar. Ooh, okay. In fact.
Like when Zanzibar and H2O was right there on the waterfront before they tore it down.
Yep, I remember.
Reggae was on the bottom floor and the hip hop was on the first floor. I remember.
Yes, sir. So this was 2005. I'm 25. You know what I'm saying? So I'm at this point, you know, I've dove into the rap game and shit. I perform, you know, so I'm doing shows myself, as well as still doing the t-shirt stuff or whatever. But like the Laws, like that's my dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like I was, once Pac passed away, like that was the only thing that I was, I guess, driven to, if I should say. It was like, you know, still holding on. So, These guys come to the Zanzibar or whatever, man, and it's like larger than life because it's like, okay, these dudes are people that pretty much spent time with Pac 24/7. These was his little homies, you know what I'm saying? The dudes that he pretty much brought on as his comrades, you know, like his soldiers. And then his babies pretty much, you know what I'm saying? Like his teenagers, he had five or six young dudes anywhere from 4 to 6 years younger than him that he was raising, that he brought on with him, you know. So to meet these dudes was definitely an honor. So I'm there, you know, I'm 25, I'm lit. I'm like, okay, I'm about to party with the Outlaws. They performing or whatever. So we get in there, man. We get in there, and at the time they were promoting their album. I can't even think of the album, the name of the album right now, FX, but they were promoting this particular album that came out in 2005. And it was called Outlaw for Life, 2005 AP. And at the time, it was just Castro, which is actually Pac's blood cousin, Young Noble, which was the last outlaw that he brought on to the clique, and Edie. Which is like one of Pac's friends who's been rolling with him since like 94. So these three guys, you know what I'm saying, they're up there, they performing, man. So I'm like, I'm in awe at this point. I'm like, damn, like right before my eyes, these my guys, you know what I'm saying, these Pac's guys or whatever. So I'm in there partying with a man. I got a little camp with me, but the camp, they sleep. they at the table with a bottle sleep. I'm on the stage. I'm like, okay, what's going on? So I'm partying with these guys, man. And then I remember to this day, Young Noble. What's up, Noble? Actually, Young Noble, he got a birthday tomorrow. March 21st is Young Noble Outlaw's birthday. But
okay, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Okay.
Yeah, Outlaw. So Noble's performing. I mean, the Outlaws are out there, but Noble, he's on the stage, and I'm right in front of him. So I'm like, I'm kind of like, I'm giving him his props, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I got my hands waved up or whatever. And then, like, I grabbed his shirt, and I kind of grabbed his shirt, but I didn't grab it, like, to grab him or anything. I was just, you know, in the element. And when I grabbed it, he looked down, and he looked at me like, dude, are you okay?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm rocking with y'all, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, what's up, Outlaw, blase, blase. So I'm like, boom. So then after they perform, you know what I'm saying, these guys, they on the side or whatever. So now I got Castro. Again, no, this is Tupac's cousin. Like, we can pull up pictures right now with Castro and Pac right now. So this is his blood cousin from New York. You know what I'm saying? His mother's sister's son. So
okay.
I'm talking to him. I got Noble. I got Edie out there, which is Edie actually has a child by Pac's sister, Seth. So I'm chilling with all of these dudes, you know what I'm saying? And I'm a little twisted, you know what I'm saying? So I'm rapping in Castro's ear, and I know he's probably like, he turned around and looked at me, and he gave me a head nod like, yeah, that's dope. But I know he's probably like, man, this dude is drunk. So that was like the first encounter of actually having the opportunity to speak and talk to those guys, you know what I'm saying? So then, like, after that, it went into me having a conversation with Storm, which was Tupac's female rapper on the Outlaws clip.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if y'all familiar with Storm like that, but she's on the West Coast, you know what I'm saying? And Pac brought her in back when he first founded Death Row. So I had some conversations with Storm, you know what I'm saying? She's very down-to-earth, very humble. If y'all haven't heard any tracks with her on it, matter of fact, Outlaws album, no, the All Eyes on Me album, War Stories, DJ FX, War Stories, Storm's on that, she's on that joint. War Stories.
Okay. War Stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had a chance to speak with her, and I sent the same painting that I sent to Spontaneous to Storm. And then I did a piece with Pac and the Outlaws that I sent to Young Noble, and who else did I send it to? I sent it to Noble, and I sent it to Storm, the Outlaws, and Fatal Hussein's sister. Rest in peace, Fatal. Fatal passed away a couple years ago. He was one of the Outlaws as well, based in Jersey.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I want to, before leave out this evening, I want to mention, because you said you're an artist, especially with art and with music, but also with writing. And I heard you were working on a book. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Boys Raising Boys. So that's a book that I'm working on right now, and I'm actually almost done, so try to wrap that up to get things moving, possibly a screenplay in the near future. But pretty much, long story short, it's about a young adolescent, you know, myself, growing up around teens, you know, your friends, you know what I'm saying, the people that you pretty much idolize or grow up around, and you mimic certain things that you see that those older cats are doing or whatever, and you might implement it into certain things that you're doing. So pretty much it's a young brother, you know, a young black male coming up, being raised by other teens that he hangs out with that are maybe anywhere from 3 to 5 years older than him, and he goes through different trials and tribulations coming up as a teen into manhood. End up having, you know, his own seed to raise, and the book is about choices at the end of the day, I would say that, you know, but I think the choices that he has to go through and the things, the conflicts that he has in front of him, I think every male, not black male, not Hispanic male, white male, but I think every male in some shape or form has went through. And what I'm pretty much trying to push in this particular story. And I started it back in 2015. I took a break, you know what I'm saying? Life happened, and I took a break from it around 2017 and 18, and I'm back now, pretty much finished up with it. I think I got, like, maybe 2 chapters left, and then from there, you know, I want to critique it and then, you know, get into the publishing situation of it, and possibly, like, I feel so strongly about this book and the way that it's presenting itself that it could be screenplay for a movie. So that's what I'm pushing for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right.
I love it. So I want to make sure the folks know where they can find you, because you've got a lot of great things going on. We don't want them to miss it out.
Yeah.
So
not at all.
Facebook and Instagram.
Nah, I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
_Cortez_art, and on Twitter @BoneCortez. So definitely, when you have an opportunity, and especially we can't wait to see how the book develops and comes out, because
definitely
is a story that needs to be told, and we can't wait to hear about it. So, yeah, with that, Bon Cortez, it's been an honor to get a chance to talk. You know, there's so much DC in this room tonight. I feel that when I come to DC, we should probably all go to Ben's Chili Bowl for some half smoked.
Hey, that sounds like a plan for the bar. Like, hey, Ben, you can't go wrong with Ben. You know, Ben's Chili Bowl, you can't go wrong with that. So, I would definitely say that. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, a lot of stuff coming up. Also, BonCortez.com is where you guys can take a look at the art, or if you want to make a purchase. I have some things coming up where I'm doing some transitions with the website and just getting some more visuals out to you guys. I enjoy both of y'all, man. You know, say y'all my brothers now. Let's definitely do this again. I would love to get back on again and get Spawn up on one of these conversations as well, you know.
That she is. She definitely want to make a mention of Henry Soulful Cafe as well. So that's definitely one we definitely got to link up on, head on over there, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to definitely do that.
Yeah, definitely.
And also,
definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and then just a quick note, she was saying that Storm was the artist with Outlaws, and Spontaneous was the female solo artist that Tupac managed. So just want to make that quick notion. And of course, going back to Henry Soulful Cafe, that's definitely Spontaneous. One of her favorite restaurants here in the DMV, how I know, is because she has actually had me to go get some sweet potato pies for her and send them, you know, because every chance she gets is like Henry Soul Food. But I can understand
that
is the bomb. You know what I'm saying? The food is on point because I'm pretty sure you probably heard like on Magic 102.3, like how sometimes they have like what they call the Tasty Tunes, you know. So I think it's either Magic 102.3 or WHUR, one of the two. But yeah, that's always a thing.
I ain't mean to cut you off, brother. Hey, but look, another thing with Spontaneous, I know you listening, or you're going to be listening, darling, but those dirty birds, them Philly birds, we coming for you this season. So the Commanders are coming for you, Spontaneous. I still love you, darling. I still love you, baby, but we coming for you, and I know you're going to get on me for saying this on your show. But I don't have to put it out there.
Well, it was nice having you around, bro.
There was going to be a part two. But now it might be rethought about. You know, I don't know. But it's all right because I got you back, because she already knows when it comes to the NFL season, it's every man for themselves. So we understand.
I love my girl, though. She knows all love.
It's always fun. It's always fun in games. Trust me. Because every time Philly beats us, man, I always get that phone call.
Yeah,
I always say, well, you know we had to do it. You know we had to do it.
Indeed, buddy.
Oh, man. It's been a lot.
Yeah,
before you go,
definitely. Yeah, but before you go, I have just one last question. Just one last question for you. The song Lay It Down. That song there, yeah. So I would like to know, like the artist that you performed with, and like what was the concept behind that song?
Lay It Down. Oh man. So this is back in my rap days, man. So you taking me back there, right? I love it, man. I love it. So long story short, man, I had a group. It was Criminal Elements. So that was me and another guy named Bang, my brother Bang, and I was Bone, but I went by not Bone Cortez, Bone Corleone. And it was Criminal Elements, but Criminal was an acronym, you know what I'm saying? It was Criminals Reborn, Intelligent Minds Initiate, New Arrivals Loving. So I took every every letter from the word criminal, and I critiqued it to that. You know what I'm saying? Just like Thug Life, like Pac Thug Life. The hate you gave little infants, fuck everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
So that happened, and man, you know what I'm saying? So I got into that realm where I was, you know, I performed with, I had the chance to perform with Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace.
Mm.
Made some shirts for Waka Flocka, T.I., you know what I'm saying? A lot of people in the game or whatever. And that particular song laid down, my man, actually the producer who, I'm pretty sure if you listen to the song, he was doing the chorus on it. My man, Amadeus, you know what I'm saying? So that's how that started. Mm-hmm. And that was, that particular song is actually, that song was done like back in 2014. It's old. But it's new to people who haven't heard it, yeah. So, yeah, man, like, I was, you know, in that realm as far as doing that rap stuff, and I think, honestly, the Lord just told me, or slowed me down because the stuff that I was doing at the time, it just would have created self-destruction for me. But I still have a passion for the music, you know what I'm saying, and for that whole situation and that lifestyle of creating, you know, as far as the art lifestyle, as far as that's concerned, you know what I'm saying. So it's in me, you know. I had the opportunity to do that particular song as well as some stuff with Tay Don, which is he was a protege of Waka Flocka at the time. He's from PG County.
Mm.
What's up, Tay?
Okay.
He's no longer, I don't think he's no longer rapping anymore, but he was a protege of Waka Flocka at the time. And that pretty much opened the doors for me on some other things that I was reluctant to. He's just being in the right place at the right time, you know what I'm saying, to do. But yeah, that laid down track. FX, thank you, man. Like, I appreciate it, you know what I'm saying? Like, Spawn, I sent it to her, and she was like, yeah, that shit's hot.
Yeah.
So I was like, thank you,
yep,
you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, like I can ride circles around motherfuckers. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, I'm up in age now, but I still got it in me.
Well, that's what's up.
Man. So,
all right. Yep. So, this is what I want you to do for us, and this would be a great way to end the show. It's a perfect way to do it. I want you to introduce your song, Lay It Down. And that's how we're going to close this show.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. All love to y'all, man. I appreciate y'all, brothers. Spontaneous, I love you to death, darling. You know what I'm saying? You're doing great things in the world. LaVar, FX, you guys are my brothers for life, man. I definitely want to talk to y'all
appreciate
in the near future again. You know what I'm saying? Have fun. And this next track, Lay It Down, this is Bon Corleone featuring Amadeus, 2022. Let's go.
Let's do it. And with that, from here, on behalf of LaVar, I am DJ FX, as well as Bon Cortez with his new track, or his track that's been laid out there, Lay It Down. God bless y'all. Good night. Be safe and love each other. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
Jaya, Bon Corleone,
I like this.
Amadeus. We see you.
For the ladies,
she the one.
That's right.
In the room, making too much noise, got to make.
What we sipping on tonight, nigga?
Sipping on that Patron, man.
Some of that shit.
Yeah.
Going darker light. You know what I'm saying? We doing whatever the ladies like.
Let's go.
Some bad ones.
I'ma take you to my room and take your clothes off. I'ma lay you get you all fired up with a love song. We can get it on, get it on. I'ma take you to a place tonight. Hit me on my phone, alright, so we can get it on all night. And I bet I'll break you off, that's right. So tell me if you'll ride with me, oh, tell me if you'll fly with me, oh. Down for me, oh, I'ma take you to your fantasy, oh.
She 5'5 with cat eyes and thick thighs, my main rise up on the balcony. Yeah, it's about to be a peace show for freaking. She's soaking me, and she yelling me, yeah, we going. Long stroke for sure.
broken. Neighbors knocking, I'm focused. Up on a bad bitch and she noticed. Back on the bed, pull on that head, slap it till it's red. Hats on the edge and you breathing hard and I'm feeling hard and I'm feeling hard as you screaming hard. We go blow for blow. Sweat drip, take off them clothes. Panties pumped up, let toes. Liquor lips, top and low. Them legs high, drive stick tonight, downshift tonight, speed fucking through them red lights. Say, record a haul on her iPhone so we can bone. She haul alone, she rub them on and Cody on.
And every time we touch, I live her life, I'll take you high. Off of the fight, this feeling. And when your body calls, girl, I want it all. I'ma take you there, I'ma lay it down and kill it.
Take it to the bathroom, pin you to the wall, let that water fall, monsoon. Got a nigga wet, I don't mind a little sweat, dripping slippery specs. Next you take control, I play the role, freak him, she's but she ain't a hoe, so devilish. He fetishes, I play the doctor, you faceless.
No, oh, oh.
Strawberries, whipped cream, eat it off of your body, and all that girl be having is sweet dreams. My bite mean, that block loud. Make a quiver that pipe wild. I lay it down, no faking that. She's shaking that love, making sounds. Yeah, have a glass for that body. Yeah, that passion be naughty. Move them hips, the girls look Pilates. No holding back, have you on your back. Scratching on my back as I stroke the cat. Might lick the cat if she lit me back. Tell that man she ain't coming back.
And every time we touch, I live a life. I'll take you high. Off of the fight, this feeling. And when your body calls, I'ma lay it down and kill it.
Stop.